I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't, but success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for all the ways can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart. Enjoy. You'll be glad you did. Hi, this is All the Way In. I'm Deborah Lake, and I've got a great show for you tonight. This is our kickoff program for the month-long Kick-Ass Valentine's series. And tonight, I'm joined with my guest in New York, Nando. Nando is a blogger and expert, relationship expert, and he's here to share some of his knowledge about dating and the LGBT scene. Hi, Nando. How are you?
I'm good, Deborah. How are things going over there?
Oh, they're great. A little cold here, but we're doing fine. So, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
Yeah. So, how's dating?
Well, I basically took a six-month break from dating, and what that allowed me to do is be an observer into other people's dating lives. So, when other people went on dates and they were coming back happy or unhappy, I was able to do a lot of research on them. They were like my guinea pigs, whether these were friends or just, you know, listening in on, you know, this is New York City, so you can go anywhere, and people are just talking about their lives. So I was able to basically do some research and just compile information. So now that I'm back dating again, I'm actually applying the stuff that I preach, if you can imagine that, you know? I'm actually practicing what I preach, so... Yeah.
Well, what was the most surprising thing that you found out when you were observing? Yeah.
Right. What still surprised me is how much expectation is placed on the first date.
Yeah,
because people really feel that first date is... Everything is dependent on that first date. Am I going to see you again? Are you going to be the one that's going to swoop me off my feet? It's so funny because we always end up placing expectation on the other person, but we fail to notice what we need to bring to the table, you know? So that was a big eye-opener, and I found myself relating to that too, because I'd often either sit across dinner from someone or... you know, at a park or what have you, and then just basically expect them to wow me, woo me, and just swoop me off my feet. And then it's like, well, what am I doing, you know, what am I doing on that equal level to that person? And it's just a lot of expectations.
You know, you're right. I hadn't even thought about it that way, but we do. And one of the things I think with the expectations, I think we bring our insecurities that way. That's sort of like a manifestation of our insecurities, maybe. I don't know. That might be me talking.
No, it's true. It's true because sometimes, you know, I was reading. I was reading, and then I think it was a yourtango.com, and then they actually did a video series where, I mean, I didn't necessarily agree with everything they said, but they had a dating expert who was talking about on your first date and the type of personalities that people are on the first date. One of them can be very clingy. The other one is very argumentative. The other one is very, you know, controlling. The other one. And so I actually just caught information off the argumentative one. And the argumentative person that goes on a date usually comes with a bag of insecurities, whether it's from childhood, you know, they were treated badly, or whether they're in a horrible job right now. And so they go on this date, and they become very combative. So if, for example, their date says something like, you know, oh, I was really rooting for that baseball team to win or whatever, this person might not even like baseball, but they become very argumentative to the point where it destroys the it just destroys the atmosphere for the rest of the evening. And so they don't get that second date when, you know, if they calm it down a little bit and kind of, you know, listen. And I'm not saying not to be who you are, but I think sometimes we have to take it down a notch.
Yeah, and not try to be our... I know a lot of people say they want to put their best foot forward, you know, like that's something that they don't do ordinarily, you know. Maybe, like you said, tone it down and just be yourself and see what happens. Be curious.
Right. See, I love it when people are just themselves. See, I stopped that whole presenting a certain person on the dates, and then, you know, later on it switches to somebody else. This is who I am. And so, but for me, right, for me, it's like, I consider myself, you know, pretty funny, pretty sarcastic, pretty smart kind of guy. And so that's what you're going to get. And so I think if more people are a little bit less nervous on dates, that'll come out. You've got those folks that you have to pull information from. It's like pulling teeth, and it's like, no, that's the worst kind of date, and I feel bad for those folks, but they might just be a little bit on the shy side, or, you know, their insecurities are really, really getting to them. But those are the worst dates, or when you know you're doing all the talking and the other person just doesn't put their part. So my biggest thing out of this whole thing is, what's my role in this? What do I bring to the table? And that's a big valuable lesson.
That is. It's a very good lesson, and I think it'll step up your dating level to a new level if you look at it that way. One of the things I do is I say, am I the kind of person I would want to date?
Right.
I want to get on a date with me. And if the answer's not yes, then I look at what I need to change in me. Because a lot of times we find people based on what we want to change in ourselves. And we you know, kind of project what we want to change on ourselves onto the other person, and say that they have an attribute in, that we want or we need or that rounds us out. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of looking for two people who are rounded out on their own and come together and have a ball and fun. Yeah.
I think it's also very important to create an intent, and this is something I learned, again, off my little dating hiatus, and this was from actually a dating coach, and what she said was, you create an intent when you go on these dates. So, once again, you let go of that false expectation, but rather than saying, oh my God, I hope this is the one, mm-hmm. or, you know, I hope that, you know, this is going to be, I hope we end up in bed together, that's another thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. But you create an intent of, you know what, tonight, my intent is to get to know this other person. My intent is also to reveal appropriate stories about myself, because sometimes we do a little too much revealing, and that really gets to me. Like, I didn't have to take 6 months off of that one. Like, I've been on dates when the guys are just, like, telling me about the fights they're having with the mother and that the brother ain't talking to them, and I'm like, we've just met like 5 minutes ago, you know, and it's like, it's that appropriateness level. But when you create an intent as you're getting ready or as your date, you know, as your date's nearing, you know, in the daytime, you just basically tell yourself, my intent for tonight is going to be to get to know this person, to enjoy the night, because that way, once again, you take responsibility in that. So, not, you know, 7 o'clock comes around, you're at dessert, and you guys are just having the most horrific time. Mm-hmm. Then you told yourself, you know, I want to have a good time tonight. So what do I need to do to pep it up?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot about responsibility and self-awareness, I think, when you're on dates, and if you lack those, you're going to go through life just, you know, burning through the online dating profiles. Because a lot of people I know, that's all they do, is just go online.
That is interesting. And, you know, part of going online like that is they don't have to take responsibility. You know, there's a distance, emotional distance there, and they don't have to take responsibility for themselves as far as what's working and what's not working. What I
right.
want to do right now is take a quick break, about not even a minute, and when we come back, we're going to get a little more juicy. How's that? Talk about
that sounds perfect.
All right, I'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay.
Isn't that John and Rachel over there?
I thought they broke up.
Broke up? When?
A while back. John looks good.
Why wouldn't he? Who told you they broke up?
Rachel did.
Well, maybe she was just talking. Venting.
No. Rachel found that John had HIV, and she was going to leave him.
What? HIV?
Yeah. She was worried that she had it too, but her test came back negative. I wonder what made her change her mind. Maybe...
What?
Well, when my brother told me he had HIV, he gave me a book. Said it would help us talk. You remember. The title was Your Neighbor Has AIDS.
Oh yeah, I read that too.
And when Rachel told me about John, I asked her not to make any decisions until she'd read it.
That was smart. That book helped you and your brother.
Yeah, and what I learned helped me talk with Mom, too.
You think that made a difference for them?
I'd bet money on it, and you know I'm not a betting woman.
But you are a great sis, and good friend.
Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake is available at DeborahELake.com, Amazon.com, and select bookstores.
All right, we're back, and we are here with my friend Nando in New York, and we're talking about dating. You know, let's talk about intimacy and
okay.
How you navigate all of that. I know this, we could do like a month-long series just on that, but that's the backdrop for why we date. You know, we want that intimate connection with one person.
I think sometimes we mistake. I think sometimes somewhere we were never taught really what intimacy was about. You know, growing up gay, our role models, everything was structured for the straight world.
Mm.
Everything. And so, at least for me, you know, I'm 34 years old, everything was structured around the straight world, and I was 5 years old watching soap opera Days of Our Lives, and that's why I learned how to, you know, get romantic and do this and do that. So then when I got older and I came out, it was, I remember, you know, I was at a bus station. It sounds so seedy and so nasty, but I was at a bus station in Dallas once, and it was just like, in the bathroom of the bus station, people were just like getting down and dirty. And that was the first exposure of like any kind of sexual thing with another man was like to me. So it was just like immediately I thought, oh, is this what it's all about? You know, I was a little bit too scared to, like, stick around. But somewhere my intimacy wires got crossed, and I automatically assumed sex equals intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to say for myself, for a very long time, I sought that out and tried to, you know, find that intimacy by, you know, being sexual. And what I see in a lot of people in the gay community is that they're still doing that. And it's hard for us, you know, it really is hard to learn what that means. Whether, you know, you go on that first date and you share a snow cone with somebody or an ice cream cone, you're walking through Central Park and you're just sharing stories of your childhood or whatever, and you just feel like, wow, I want to get to know more of this person. And that right there could be an intimate moment without
mm-hmm.
taking your clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we don't know how to do that because we immediately, you know, oh, I really like this person. I want to see them again. Let's go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's not intimacy. That's just, you know, getting your needs met, you know, a different kind of need.
And I think that's a lot of what is behind the one night stands. A lot of people have one night stands, and that's a way to avoid intimacy. Because you're right, you don't have to have your clothes off to be intimate. You can really the most intimate times I've had with individuals have been a lot of times sitting in the middle of a room fully clothed,
mm-hmm.
and feeling totally exposed emotionally. And feeling good about it, you know, that kind of connection with someone.
I think one night stands are an excuse for us not being able to be intimate, and not 100% of them, because I know sometimes, you know, you just want to have that sexual carnal desire met, and then you just want the person to leave. Like, can you please leave now? You know,
yeah.
I need to get some sleep or whatever. Now, that's the difference, that when when that happens to us, either we hear a friend or we say it ourselves, you know, I just feel so empty. Or when someone says, I'm tired of just the one night kind of thing, that's because what you were really shooting for is to have that whole connection. And I'm not sure a lot of people have been lucky enough to allow themselves to experience that, you know, because when you do, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to wake up in the morning, whether you live together or not, and just knowing that there's someone out there who actually is going to call you or you're going to call them, and they're actually interested in, like, what your next step is, whether, yeah. you know, you're going to go grab some coffee, go to work, or whatever. And that's one of the greatest feelings that you could ever achieve, I believe.
I do, too. And knowing that someone knows you better than anyone else, you know, other than yourself, you know? Because
right.
you've shared so much and you've talked and talked about yourself and your experiences and things. That's
yeah, nice. and you go through these experiences together. It's so funny that you said that because I actually have a few exes since moving to New York. I've been here since 2001, and I've remained friends with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have three. I have three, and they're all in new relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. And two of them, I even hang out with them. And, you know, we go out to drinks together and we hang out with a bunch of other friends or what have you. And I totally respect the relationship and I actually like the new boyfriend. See, I think they're great. They're compatible. And I tell my ex, you need to watch it because this is a really good guy mm-hmm. for you, you know. And it's like, who better than an ex who knows you in and out to say, I think this person is a great match for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, I do have another ex who has totally found himself somebody non-compatible, somebody who is not right for him or whatever, you know. And I tell him, this isn't the right one for you. I know what you want. I know what you're looking for because, you know, that's the reason you and I didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically found another me. So what you need to do is you need to decide how many more years of misery am I going to stand before I finally say to myself, I deserve something better. You know, and I say, you know, let me set you up with somebody, you know, I know the perfect person for you. And he kind of freaks out because it's like, what are people going to think? You know, my ex is setting me up with somebody, but on the same premise, I know you. I know you, and I know that you love attention. I know that you love to be told, I love you every day. I know that you know, so I think that when you do make those intimate connections, you don't always have to let them go. You know, you move through phases in life with these people in your life, in your relationships, but you don't lose that intimacy. Because I still feel very intimate. And once again, intimacy does not mean sexuality.
No, exactly. Yes. it sexual sex is a part of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not not always implied that's what's going on when we're talking about intimacy. Yes. What do you think about this thing? And I have mixed feelings about it. I'll put it this way, in the context of what we're talking about. What do you think about the saying opposites attract? I know a lot of people think that, and they say, well, you know.
I think to a certain degree, like this is what I've seen. I've dated both, you know, the outgoing, and you kind of get the energy from them. And so you both kind of, you know, put on your bat suits and your Batman and Robin and you go off into the night and do whatever you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've dated the opposite, which are, you know, the quiet, the shy, the insecure. And I think, I don't know, I think each one has its ups and downs, pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think necessarily in your lifetime you're always going to be attracted to the same type of personality. Because we're ever evolving, you know? So who I was at 20... it's totally different than who I am at 29 and who I am at 34. So you're going to end up dating, in your dating cycle, you're going to date the entire, you know, gamut. And I think that it'll just change because you know what? When you find that person, when you meet that person that just does it for you, and this is like in all areas, who mentally stimulates you, who can make you laugh, if that's what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
who can, you know, provide some creativity, bouncing, you know, feedback off of one another, then, It doesn't matter if they're shy or outgoing, because you just want to be around that person. But do opposites attract? Is that the rule? I would say no.
Yeah. I think you touched on something, because when you were talking about someone who the example you gave was someone who needs to be told they're loved every day and that kind of thing. There are some people who don't say it. They just don't say that. That's not their nature. And it made me think of opposites being attracted to one another, right?
Right.
And I think you touched on a line that we have to walk when we're looking for excitement, because you don't want to be with someone who's just like you, right? But
mm-hmm.
because then there's no tension. There's no tension there, right? And neither one of you are growing, because I think that's part of why we're put together, is to help each other grow. Expand our experiences, expand our perception, based on working together and talking together and working out all the little kinks. But then there's the situation where you're so different that it's just not going to work eventually.
Right.
You know, you might have passion there, or you might have something there to keep you there for some years sometimes, but ultimately you end up going your separate ways because you were just way too different to begin with. Yeah, it's a little line we walk.
Right. And, you know, I don't know if you've encountered this in your lifetime or not, but I always saw movies like this. And I always fantasized about, wow, I can't wait till I meet somebody like that or what have you. And I actually did about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I met somebody who, so this was 3 years ago, so I was 31. And at me, at 31, I was totally set as far as, this is who I'm going to date, this is the type of person, this is the feel, this is, like, I was really anal when it came down to it. You know, these are the type of shoes they're going to wear. Like, honestly. You know, and my friends were like, well, you're never going to find anybody. And so, lo and behold, just one day out of the blue, I met this little boy. I'm 34, so I call anybody who's 6 hours younger than me little boy. So please do not think I'm dating 10-year-olds. But I met, but he was young. He was 20 at the time. So I was 31, he was 20. That's super young.
Mm-hmm.
And what this little boy did was he completely shook, he grabbed hold of my values, morals, ideas, and belief system, and just shook it.
Wow.
And I was completely broken.
Oh, wow.
Every idea, everything I thought I knew, everything I thought I believed in, he questioned it. And he really did it in a way where I was like, yeah, why do I believe that?
Hmm.
And so it was just an amazing, amazing, amazing experience, and I grew as a person so much. And it, like I said, it was like, you know, being broken and then being built up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I give him credit for that, because he really did that, and without even knowing, you know, he was just being him.
Mm-hmm.
And but what, you know, the horrible part about it is that usually those folks, you know, they don't really stick around.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Those are the ones that kind of come into your life, they shake you up, and then they leave, and they leave you a whole different person.
Yeah, and I think that's why they came into your life. I don't believe that everybody who comes into our lives, in the dating scene or whatever, I don't believe in life ever after. Sometimes they come for a specific reason, and when that reason is done, you need to know when to let go. Sometimes.
Yeah, see, that was hard for me. That was hard for me because, you know,
yeah.
You just want to hang on to it.
I
because
know.
They're the ones that, you know, encouraged you to do this and just find your voice or what have you. So that letting go part is the hardest thing in. And I find it a lot in the gay world that we don't like to let go.
No, it's hard because look at all and everything that's going against us coming together. And then we find someone, and odds are still against us. Society, for the most part, families, for the most part, all of us working against us. And then you stay together anyway. Then you find out you have to let go. That is difficult, because you have to start the whole process all over again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk to the guys and the girls.
Okay.
Is there like a difference in dating? I'll tell you my experience. I think men are far more direct than women. Sometimes women are so indirect is the best way I can put it, that it's difficult to tell when you're out there dating even what to do. So in your experiences in relationship and stuff like that, have you noticed a difference based on gender in how people approach dating?
I really think it's more of an individual, because I've seen women come across very confident, very in control, very, you know, and I've seen this in a little trendy.
Oh yeah, they're called butch.
And that. No, I have a lot of. I guess they're called. I don't want to say anything politically incorrect, and please slap me if I say it wrong. But I have a lot of, you know, lipstick lesbian. I don't know what they're called. You know, just very, you know, they're more feminine side, and they can be very, you know, domineering or what have you. And they go out there and they put their cat suit on, and you know, they know what they're doing. But
yeah.
I really think it's an individual thing, because I think I think dating just really brings out our insecurities, and that's why I go back to, you know, if you can get yourself to a point where you really like, you don't have to love yourself just yet, but just like who you are, and when you go on those dates and that comes through, then I think that you're already on a higher playing field than so many other people. You know, give yourself, because I think, you know, growing up gay, we get bashed, we have to live life secretly, who we are, what we're feeling, for such a long time, and then to come out and say, for us to take hold of who we are and say, okay, this is who I am. I don't think it's still a process of us to get into that lifestyle, you know. So even when we date, it's a vulnerable state, and I don't care whether you're being vulnerable because you don't like the way your hair looks, or you're being vulnerable because you think you might be a little bit too chubby, or you're vulnerable because you think you might not be smart enough, but it doesn't matter. Wherever that place of vulnerability is and insecurity, all of that flashes back, I think. So whether, you know, you were told you were too ugly when you were 6 years old or whatever, like, all that just comes flooding back.
Yeah.
And you put that out there. So I say, let's get ourselves to a point where we really like ourselves. Look at your life. Look how far you've come. Look what you're doing. Look at the friends that you're making. Look at the job that you're keeping. What's your creative process? What's your outlet? And just be happy of where you're at and how far you've come. And I also believe we need to give back. And these little things will catapult you to liking yourself. And then hopefully, you know, the next step is loving yourself. And that'll really come through. So when you go on these dates, you know, not to be arrogant, but just, you know, have a little, you know, swagger in your walk, and just, you know, let the other person know that you're dating somebody that, you know, likes themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so tell me, you know, and I think it takes you to a higher playing field, I believe.
Yeah. People want to be around people who are, who like themselves, like you said, and who are successful. And I'm not talking about money or anything like that, who are successful in being who they are in the moment.
Yes.
You know? People like that. They love it. Yeah. And
it plays, you play off their energy. You play off their energy, and it just, you know, it makes you feel like, wow, you know, if they can do that, so can I. And that's what you want, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are some of the places to meet?
Places to meet.
Yeah, and while you're thinking about that, how about one of the oddest places or the most unusual place that you've heard about two people meeting who are dating or who ended up in a relationship?
Well, I don't know if it's too unusual, but I was actually, this is really funny, this is 5 years ago. I was working for a market research place, and it was very stressful. It was very stressful.
Yeah.
And so every Friday, I would go to my acupuncturist, and I would have them not only do acupuncture, but I would have them do cupping on me. And this is where they take a cup, a glass. It's actually a glass. They take like a little 8-fluid-ounce glass, and they light it with a lighter, and then they put it on your back, and it causes suction.
Huh.
And what they do is, and they'll put two of them together, and so what they're doing is they're moving the glass on your back, up and down. And then sometimes, you know, the air will come through, so then there's no more suction, so they have to do it again. But every time that they place it on your back, it creates a big purple mark, like a little bruise, but it doesn't hurt. It just feels so amazing. I just come back from a treatment, and I was going to go on vacation a week later, so for my lunch hour, I went to Macy's to look for, you know, some vacation clothes,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy there, this nice hunk Italian man, and he just kept looking at me. Mm-hmm. Now, my gaydar is completely broken, so I don't have it. So, to me, I just stay away from people, and they have to actually walk up to me and either ask me out or do something very obvious. So I was just, this guy was kind of creeping me out. So bottom line, he asked for my number. We went out on a date. Everything was smooth and everything. Come to find out, like a month later, after, you know, we were in a relationship or what have you, he finally admits that he wasn't sure whether he wanted my number or not, because the shirt I was wearing, it was a button down, and you could kind of see my back a little bit, and he saw all the purple marks, and he thought to himself, he's either into S&M or he's a burn victim.
Oh gosh.
And I don't know if I want to deal with either one. And but he's like, you were just so charming and engaging that I just had to take that chance, you know. And I was so happy when to find out that you were neither. So I thought that was a great story, because either way, you know, he was compassionate enough to think, if he is a burn victim, I'm still going to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was at Macy's. So it's not that unusual, but I think it's an unusual story. It's a fun story to
tell. That's a nice one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Yeah. Well, you know, we're running a little bit out of time, so I want you to make sure that our listeners know about how to reach you. And
okay.
You have a Valentine's Day contest coming up, right?
I do. I'm actually running it now. My website, my blog is nandoism.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mixture of dating tips and then also dating stories from me, and also just, you know, revelations that you know, come to me about the dating arena. But then there's a little bit of everything mixed in. The Valentine's Day contest right now, I've partnered up with Empire Labs. Now, Empire Labs has been featured in O Magazine,
mm-hmm.
and Little Oprah's magazine, for their Clone a Willy kit. Now, this to me would have come in handy a few years ago when I was dating that 20-year-old Italian, I tell you, where you can clone somebody's willy. And I think that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely think that's amazing. So what we're doing is submit your erotic story. If you go onto my blog, nandoism.com, you'll see the post there, Valentine's Day Erotica Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And you submit your erotic story, 500-word max, to Empire. There's an email address there.
Okay.
And then you tweet myself and you tweet Empire Labs telling us, you know, I just submitted my erotic story. And the person, the entry with the most votes or comments, wins. And the prize is $100. It's a little gift box with $100 worth of Empire Lab naughty toys inside of it. And then two runner-ups are actually going to win the Finger Vibe, which is this cute little contraption. You just pop it on. You know, like in the post office, they put those little things Exactly. It's like that, but it's a little vibe.
Yeah.
It's a little vibrator. You can do whatever you want with it. So two contestants are going to win those, and then the grand prize is $100 of naughty toys. And then also the full story will get published on the blog and all this media exposure and all that. So we're just, you know, trying to do this for the singles out there, because, you know, Valentine's Day can be rough for us. You know, you're out there and you see everybody hugging and kissing and balloons and flowers.
Everywhere you look.
And we're just like, all right, you know. So I wanted to do this for the singles. Although, it's open to everybody, so even if you're in a relationship, send us your best erotic story for a chance to win.
That sounds fantastic. It sounds like a great fun thing. It does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things I can do is stick the link on my show page as well, so people can look there as well.
Oh, great.
And get you that way. And it's going to go how long? How long will the contest last?
The contest opened today, and it ends February 8th because we want to have enough, you know, voting time. We want to have enough time to get the winner will be announced on Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
So you have something to look forward to on Valentine's Day. You know, everybody check your emails and check your Facebook or what have you. And then, you know, we will mail you the prizes over to you. But it's from today up until February 8th. So you have a week to get your story in.
Sounds good. I will put the word out as well. Thanks a lot for being here and for sharing and giving us your wisdom on dating. It's been fun. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And I wish you much success. And have fun. Have fun dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like I said, create those intents, folks. Create those intents and don't put so much pressure on stuff to the table as well.
Yeah. And all success to you as well.
Thank you so much. All right. You have a good night. And we will, I'll email you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. That's all I have for today. Thanks for listening. And you know what? Thanks for telling your friends and colleagues about us. All the Way In is getting more and more popular, and that's because of you. Thank you. This is All the Way In Radio, and we're here live, just like life. I'm Deborah E. Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Until next time. All the Way In is a production.